here that aren't quote-unquote adults, you're close to it. You probably know more than what you want your parents to let on to know that you know that they know.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They learn stuff in sixth grade that it makes my hair curl. I'm telling you, the world today has got things messed up, and we need you godly mothers to be teaching our children how to dress, how to act. The Bible said in Proverbs 22, I think it's verse number 6, train up a child in the way they should go. Amen. Didn't say that they were going to always do it. Said that he shall not depart. I'm going to tell you what doesn't depart is they always know what's right.
Yes.
They may not be doing it. They may not be living like it, but they still know.
Right.
Because they were taught.
Amen.
They were taught at a very young age. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. Don't do that. Do this. Act like this. Don't act like that. They were taught at a very young age.
Right.
You know, research shows tells us that by the age of 5, they're pretty much done with what influence you're going to have in their life. By the age of 5, Jacoby's going to be 2 in July. I'm going to have to really get with it. Three more years. No, I don't. You do.
Right.
And I understand. See, this is one of the difficulties of being a single mom.
Right.
Because I understand. It does wear on you mothers to be the disciplinarian, to be this, to be that. You've got to be everything. And yes, Papa can step in. And yeah, uncles can step in. And yeah, others can. But the main responsibility does rely on the mother. You got a huge responsibility. I was studying and just looking, and please forgive me. I'll quit sometime this morning. That means I'll be done before noon.
Good job.
Maybe 11:59, but I'll be done. Man, there's some women in the Bible that, oh, wow. You remember the story of the king that had these two mothers that came and one had rolled over. I never noticed this, but in that story that they were both harlots. The Bible said they were both harlots. They both had babies. One had rolled over and suffocated her baby in the middle of the night. Well, she got up in the middle of the night and she switched babies, and that mother knew that was my baby.
The other one argued, yeah, it was your baby. This one's mine. Because she wanted a baby that was alive. She didn't want nobody to know that she rolled over on her baby and died, so on and so forth.
Bring the whole issue before the king. King says, bring me a sword. And the real mother says, whoa, Hold on a second. Let the baby live. Let the baby live. And the king in his wisdom knew, now that's a real mama.
Amen.
Whether she doesn't get to raise it all the days of his life, she wants her baby to live. That's a real mama. Because against all adversity and all situations and all of it, mama wants her baby to live. Mama wants to see her baby do the best that possibly can be given. No matter what's been, no matter what curveball has been thrown into their life. I think about some of you ladies that are from Jamaica, some of them were not here today. Sister Lane texts me, and Sister Janice is not feeling well, and the torment there of them being away from their children, from their families. They're here working, and my heart went out, my heart began to bleed for them. Even this morning as I prayed for them, God, how difficult this must be. They've got little children at home. Not only want their mama, that need their mama, and their mama wants them, but they're doing everything that they possibly can to somehow make their life better and sacrifice it back home and trying everything that they can. Or there are some that sit here today very, very well off compared Some of you have your babies with you today, but there's some women that don't have their babies with them that are thousands of miles away. What about that Shumanite woman?
She is minding her own business, loving her pastor. Loving her pastor and building a house and always made him a nice meal and was honoring her husband, loved her husband, loved her pastor, minding her own business, but she didn't have a child.
And then the preacher told her, hey, you're going to have a baby about this time.
Don't lie to me, preacher. Don't lie to me.
I'm just telling what God's going to do.
She has a baby about that time of year. That baby begins to grow and he falls sick out in the field while he's learning and working and learning how to work with his daddy. His daddy brings him to who? Daddy don't know what to do. Hey, baby, just take this kid. He's sick. Give yours. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, daddies are funny. They're funny little creatures. Huh? I mean,
can't stand puke. They can't stand diarrhea. Can't stand.
Daddies are wimps.
Yeah, suck it up, guys. You are. You're wimps. I ain't changing that diaper. That one's for you. It's coming outside. I don't do stuff. Yeah. I'll go work. I'll go do this. I'll go.
Yeah, you act all tough and macho. Change that diaper.
I can see her as she's holding that baby. They don't know what to do, and that baby dies in her arms. And she goes into the preacher's room and sets him on that bed and said, I told you not to lie to me.
Tells the servant, get the donkey together and we're going to go for a ride.
And she goes and she said, spare not. She's urgent. She said, get me to the preacher's house. She gets there and sees him afar off and says, sir, is everything okay? And it is well. And that's just like a mama. Chaos, turbulent, things frustrating, things going wrong. And sometimes mama, she just, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. And you know it ain't right. But mamas have a way of just saying,
it's going to be okay. Everything's all right. And they'll suck down tears and they'll suck down adversity and they'll do all kinds of things.
It's going, it is well. She said, it is well. But as soon as she got to the preacher's house, because the servant wasn't good enough and this wasn't good enough, nothing was good. I'm going to talk to the preacher. I told you.
You can see mama. Mm-hmm.
I told you not to lie to me.
And he did it. She had a child. He didn't say he was going to live until he was 60. He didn't say he's going to live forever. He said, you're going to have a child. He could have said, I didn't lie to you, woman. You had a baby. Just because he died at 5 is my fault. But he's like, okay,
you expected more than just having a kid. You wanted me to make him live forever. God honored the faith of that woman.
Another woman that comes to mind
that's not mentioned by name very much or even talked about very much is Jehoiada. Bed, I think it's B.E.B. Which is Moses' mama. What a woman that was courageous. What a woman. Here she's getting this decree to kill all of the males. And I'm not going to go into all of it. But she gets this down from the top of the king. And she's like, ain't no way. Not on my watch. I ain't killing my baby. Ain't nobody else going to kill my baby. You know, the midwives, the more pressure that they put on them, so on and so forth, the Bible said, I don't know, it's in Exodus chapter number 1, verse number, in between those verse 1 and the last verse. It says that the more that they were afflicted, the greater they grew.
It was like God said, the more you keep on pressuring them, the more you want to wipe them out and put them into the extinction, the more I'm going to bless them and the more I'm going to multiply them.
Let me tell somebody here today, don't curse your adversity. Don't curse your affliction. Because if it's of God, that means there's growth coming.
Yes.
That means, that means you're going to grow exponentially. You say, well, why is this all happening? Why is that happening? Why is this happening? And this is frustrating. Well, all that adversity is coming. God is saying, I'm getting ready to make you grow. Big time. The more adversity, the more pressure, I'm fixing to make you grow big time. And you may be feeling like a skunk and thinking you're nothing but a failure and thinking you just can't get through and there's all this and you feel like you're stumbling, you're fumbling around. And that's the way mamas feel a lot of times. How many mamas feel overwhelmed sometimes? It's just like, I can't do this no more. I've heard my wife say it. I've heard my, and life has changed. My girls are older, but now we got grandkids. I'm going to tell you. It's not the will of God for old people to raise little kids. After you older, I think I am because I can't keep up with that child. When I fall into bed, I'm more tired than he is. He's been chasing that little squirt all over the place. It's like, oh, he's taking a nap. Sometimes you go, oh, I could have taken a nap too. Because if I don't, I won't be able to go like he's going to go. Right. But I got to get something done while he's taking a nap. So you're hurrying and you're trying to get everything done while he's taking a nap. And I see my wife do this. And while we were gone, of course, Renee had to work, so we took the grandkids. And you know, we're going to take the grandkids. We're all happy for about 5 minutes. And our first church service, Jacoby decides to test Nana's will. Now, these candy in his mouth. Get that candy in your mouth. Get that thing in your mouth. He won't shut up. Get that mint in your mouth. And he's like, and he holds it in his teeth. And he starts to slobber. And it just starts dripping down and dripping and dripping. And he's like, it's in my mouth. And they're like, now what you gonna do? It's in my mouth. I'm doing what I'm told. Got that all the way in your mouth. And he pushes it in his mouth and he sticks it back out. Thought you would have been killed. Just cut his hand off. He acts like he's dying. And he was quiet in church. And he screamed like a wild Comanche. Of course, Nana, she flushes red and just, man, the claw comes over the mouth. Silence. She gets done with church and she goes, I don't know if I can do this tomorrow. Mamas and men. I remember when my kids were younger and same things and this child had to be
over
and over and over again because she was stubborn and she's reaping what she sowed. She's come and she's cried to mama and daddy and said, ah! I remember my wife saying these very words, God, I don't know what I'm going to do with her. She's going to break me, and I know I'm supposed to break her. Yeah, I remember those things. And the deal was, is my mom was getting up at 2:30 in the morning and doing a paper route. Doing a paper route, getting done in time for me to go to work and fix me breakfast. And I went to work, and then she got the kids ready. What am I saying? Let me go back to Moses and his mama. His mama was awesome. She began to be obedient, doing everything that she could. Do you realize that it was it within that first 5 years that mama only had that impact for 5 years? It was during that first 5 years that she was able to teach him to where when he got to be 40 years old, he said, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm going to choose to rather be associated with and acquainted with the grief, the adversity of the people of God. Because there was a mama that put something deep inside of you. Mama had to get creative. Mama's got to get creative sometimes. We see in the Word of God, and there's so much teaching in the Word of God. And, you know, I didn't...
started doing some more research and studying. I'm going to preach on this a little bit here. The roles of women throughout the scripture that oftentimes is just below the surface. A lot of that had to do with because there was so much emphasis put on the men. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of good women in the Bible. I said there's a lot of good women in the Bible. And there's a lot of places that they needed to be recognized. They really needed to be recognized. And they were used of God in a great, great way. The modern mother has so much pressure upon them. So much pressure. I'm glad, even though I was teasing Brother Josh the other day, I'm glad that I'm a dude. Was it you that was telling me that they got these deals now for guys to feel the amount of pain that women have?
Yeah.
Now, I'm interested. Now, what I think should be done, now that I'm where I'm at, is I think that ought to be done in middle school to every guy. Without an option. And it needs to be done every Friday night from the age of 13 to 20. That would help things. That would help things tremendously. Yeah. So they remember. No way.
Well, praise the Lord. She was obedient. I find that so many of these women there that are in the Bible, again, I don't have enough time to go through all of them, but there are so many of them that the one thing that screams out in their lives that made them so valuable, so outstanding, was their obedience. I know that's not a word that anybody in this society likes because they think that the man is being so big and he's trying to rule over them and blah, blah, blah. Well, let me just remind some of you ladies, if a man sticks around here long enough, you're going to hear enough preaching about the guy and the way he's supposed to treat his wife and supposed to treat the ladies
right,
with respect and honor and so on and so forth. That's the last thing I am, is a male chauvinistic pig and thinking that women should be under. What did the Bible say? That this type of woman, this virtuous woman, is a crown unto her husband. But there's also that woman that can be a disgrace to her husband. Make her husband look bad. The Bible said that God made the woman out of his side to be a helpmate. Did you realize that the Bible also said that God was our helpmate? The same word helpmate that Eve was to Adam, God is to us as a body. The same word, same meaning, same everything. Helpmate. You see, God's interested in making our lives easier and better. He's interested in helping us. He didn't make the woman out of this tub, so she is never to be your doormat. She was not intended, and yet the Bible did say that she can be a crown, that is an honor to her husband. He didn't make it out of the head either to rule over him, but out of his side, close to his heart. Close to, I wish my wife was. What's she doing? Oh, she's having sex. Okay. by the side as it held me close to his heart. What I see in a tremendous way, and I'm going to close before 11:30.
Oh, man, I've got some of you to wake up.
11:30 is too close for 11:30. Oh, God, I'm going to close.
I saw some excitement in you just there.
Brother Avery's down.
I'm learning something today.
And things are going to get good at my house. One thing that I noticed, a real strong character of all of these godly women that the Bible talks about and refers to over and over and over again. And again, I can't name them all. Priscilla was one of them. Eunice, oh, I said her name. But there's a whole bunch of, you know what I found? What the number one character trait in them was? They were obedient. They were obedient. They were obedient. And God multiplied them here, and multiplied them there, and blessed them there. And their names are written in the Bible. Let me tell you something. Obedience. And I wrote this down, and I had a whole bunch of notes, and this is just one of all those notes. And I didn't preach them all. As a matter of fact, I didn't preach. I'm only using one or two paragraphs here right now out of all those notes. So thank God. Maybe I should have stayed on your notes. I'm the pastor. No, I wouldn't have. Obedience to God does not exempt you from life's adversities.
Make sure you hear that. Obedience does not exempt you from life's adversities,
but it will always put you on the pathway to God's multiple blessings. God will even use your adversities to bring about something good and positive in your life. Referring back to Moses and Mama, that was an adverse situation, but God, through her obedience, through her example, raised up a man to deliver the children of Israel. She was a blessed woman. Amen. I want to encourage you to do the same thing. And I wrote this down. I want you to find an area in your life where you are not being obedient to God. I want you to find a place where you are not being obedient to God. Or let me give some of you some wiggle room, because some of you just went, I'm not obedient. You're arrogant.
Pastor, you're being mean. No, I'm not being mean at all. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm trying to help you be saved. So for those of you that already went, I'm not disobedient.
Okay. For those of you that said that, maybe you're not being obedient as much as you should be.
There. Is that a little bit better for you?
Yeah, well, there's some things I could probably.
See, some of us, we say, well, I'm obedient in everything. Yeah. Are you completely obedient?
Well.
Okay. So now that we all are in agreement here,
amen, we can go on. I want you to start obeying Him.
If you practice this yourself, you think I'd be preaching it? Oh, no. If I didn't need it? So you need to do this out in your life first. Okay.
Well, maybe I better stop there, because I don't make a mama upset when I sit there. So I'm not going to ruin your day.
I know I don't have
the very best that I can, and I am trying. And I do hear the preaching of the word, and I do read that Bible, and I do pray, and God does convict me. I go, oh man, I got to work on that one. So I don't think that I have to be the epitome of perfection in order to say these things. And I know to our carnal mind, it does take an effect on us to a degree, because I read a book how to fall in love and stay in love one time by a guy that had been divorced and remarried 4 times.
Do what? And the principles were good. The principles were good. And I thought, man, dude, if you just practice what you preach, you probably be the same woman the first time.
Right.
So understand what I'm saying. There's some things that we do preach and we do work on even ourselves. So I don't want to let that go unnoticed, because you can point the finger at me and you can go ahead and shoot me. Shoot me anywhere you want. I already got a hole, but I already been shot. So it's not going to affect me that much, because I've already got a hole there. I know where I know myself better than any of you know. I know my weaknesses. You know why? Because I got to wake up every morning with the same stinky bag breath that none of you have to experience. Unless I pray for you. Boy, I'm brushing my teeth. I'm just being real. Right? But what I want you to do is start obeying God and watch what He will do. Because He will bless you. He will always bless you for your obedience. I learned something a long time ago. There was one time that had such an impact on my life with my mother. I was wanting to date my wife. I went to my pastor and said, "You heard this story before?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, can I tell her that you said no?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Can I write her in a letter and let her know that you said no?" And he said, "No." I'm like, okay. So you want me just to act like she doesn't exist and cut it cold turkey? He said, "Cold turkey. Don't say a word." Okay. I left that meeting. You know, I thought that meeting was going to go way better than that. I left that meeting, came in the house one that night, and I started to sneak downstairs. I'll never forget. I came inside, tried to sneak downstairs real quietly, and I heard my mom say, "Derek?"
"Yeah?" I was about halfway downstairs. I said, "Yeah?" She goes, "Come here."
Oh, man.
I walked back up the stairs, walked to my parents' room, and she goes, "What'd Pastor say?" So I relayed the story to her, and the first things out of her mouth was, "You can't do that to a girl. There's no, that's not right to treat a girl like that."
And I'm standing there, mom's laying in bed, and I just looked at her, and she goes, "Never mind what I said. Do what your pastor said." I said, "Okay, that's what I was going to do anyways." And that hurt. Just pastor was there. She knows stuff that my wife went through, a couple of her other friends that long time there. And it devastated my wife, because the very next thing which she brought her mother to meet me at another church deal.
And she comes up to me and says, "Here, this is my mom." I said, "Hi, nice to meet you." Walked around, walked with her. And her mother looked at her and said, "That's what you're interested in?" She goes, "I don't know what happened." She had no idea. I did what my pastor said. Completely cold turkey. She didn't know what. And then she went to her pastor. Let me tell you the value of going to your pastor. And sometimes it may not sound right. It may not look right. But she went to her pastor. She said, "I want to write a letter and tell him what I think about his Christianity. He is no Christian. That's no..." And she told. And he goes, "If you know Brother Satterwhite, he'd probably just..." Says, "If you want a second chance with him, I would write that letter." First thing in her mind was, "Second chance with that jerk? You gotta be kidding me." But she didn't write a letter.
And 2 years later, there was a second pregnancy. And the rest is kind of history. We've been together for over 22 years. Great years, wonderful years. Thank God for that.
Amen.
I guess what I wanted you to understand is that there's something that, and then it was later on. Let me just say this. Stand with me. Oh, I lied. It's 11:33.
Okay.
I hear all y'all mumbling. I mean, anyway, in the first place, you didn't hear why when you said it. It's amazing that when she found out, I had told her that I loved her on the phone one time, like 2 years earlier. I told her that, and she was like,
"Yeah, and then tomorrow you're going to dump me."
So I ain't getting involved. And I said, "Gina," I said, "I want you to understand something." And silence. I said, "I want to go back to 2 years ago, when I liked you the first time, and I was interested in you the first time. I want you to know I went to my pastor, and I went through all of what I just told you in detail. And I said, you've got to know that I would have never done that had my pastor not told me." And that night she told me later, she said, "When you told me that, I knew that if you would obey the man of God in your life, when your heart was involved, when you had what you thought was your heart's desire, and this is what you wanted, and you could say no to your heart, your emotions, and everything, I knew that that's the kind of man that I wanted, that would obey at any cost." And let me tell you something, even though in my mother's first reaction, it was natural. It was a natural thing for a mother to say, "Whoa, you can't treat somebody like that. That was good teaching from my mom."
Right.
And I said, "I understand that." And even though it wasn't right, so to speak, she still came back and she said, "Even though that these are principles that aren't right, you need to obey your pastor." And that's what I needed to hear from my mom. I needed to hear my mom say, "Obey your pastor. Do what he says. Do what he says." Say, "Well, I'm not willing to obey a man like that. He's just a man. He's just this." And I can tell you of other situations over and over and over again that I've multiplied today because of simple obedience. My wife is multiplied today because of simple obedience. This message wasn't supposed to be about obedience, but here it is. The greatest women of the Bible had this one awesome, awesome character trait. That was, they were obedient. They were obedient. Mothers, I want you to know, don't take your job for granted. You have the greatest job on the planet, to teach and raise your children. All of the things that you do, I think mothers are absolutely fantastic. We have future mothers here. Learn from some of these other mothers. They will be able to tell you, "Man, I wish I wouldn't have done, and I wish I would have done." And you will make your own way. But take heed. Listen to some of those things. You're not going to be perfect, and they weren't perfect either. And if all these mothers would agree, you would say, "No, there's a lot of things I would have done differently. I would have changed. I may have. But I don't think there's a mother at least in this building, that hasn't done their very best. And that's what I believe you need to do. Do your very best to be obedient to God. Trust God as many of these other women of the Bible did. Trust God. Dear Jesus, love and appreciate you. God, you know how important women are. And we can go back into your word, even that your mother, your earthly mother, that bore you, and see the phenomenal things of the women of old, how you treated them, how you honored them. All of those things, God, we give honor today for every mother and everything that they have done. I pray, God, that you give them all wisdom. Give them grace. Give them understanding in your ways of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.